and he came. Why don't we do another sacrifice? Why don't we invite some of our enemies to attack Hastinapur? Something like that. And then send a quick message out to Krishna. Help! Come and save us. We got to think of something, some pretext, some way to stimulate Krishna so he'll think, right, I must go to Hastinapur. So Narada Muni arrives on the scene as that is going on. That is there from verse 1 to verse 3. So he arrives. This is now section 2, which is verse 4 to verse 6. So Narada Muni arrives. Maharaj Yudhisthira sits him down. And, of course, he is Narada Muni. He's this great traveling mendicant devotee. So immediately, the Pandavas, as devotee householders, immediately they thought, oh, we must greet him properly and worship him. Bathe his feet, offer arati to him, and so on. So immediately they grabbed all those things, set them up, they're about to start. When Narada Muni picks those things up and starts offering arati to them, and so on. So things are going on like that. Yes, and he makes an interesting point. It's referred to here in number 2. Narada, he brings out, and this is a very important point from the philosophical point of view and the point of view of how things are developing, coming to a higher level. So Narada says that although during Lord Ram's advent, when Lord Ram was present on this platform, some people became pure devotees, but a spontaneous attraction, independent of any considerations of whether he is God or who he may be, other than just the person we love. So all those other ideas about how he's great and we're small and therefore we have to worship him and he is in charge of everything and including us, so we are under him. All those ideas are swept aside by this love, that he is our beloved. In this case, cousin or relative, because they're a different. The Pandavas are cousins, but others are aunts or whatever. Different relationships are there. So different types of family relationships are there. And that is how they see Krishna. And therefore there's that mood of spontaneous love, independent of his being God and things like this. So Narada brings out this point that in the previous incarnation, Ram, some people attain pure devotional service, that's a fact, but not like you. Not in that spontaneous mood that he is our dear family member, our beloved relative. Therefore we're so fond of him and we love him like that and we see him like that. So that's there from verse 4 to verse 6. So starting, let's see, it's actually 3 and 4 really. Yeah, 3 and 4, basically. Narada Muni goes through his usual ecstasy of explaining how it is they should be recognized as the recipients of the Lord's greatest mercy, their special qualifications, the special things about them, the special ways that the Lord relates with them, which distinguishes them from other, even great devotees, even like Hanuman. So there are a few listed out here in 3 and then in 4 also. So we can go through those, and there are a few extras also. So first of all, this is 3a. As we said, this is from verse 7 to 44. Number 3 is really verse 7 to 29. And number 4 is 33, or 30, say, to 44. That's basically how it's structured. Yeah. So let's go through these then. How it is Narada feels convinced that they've got the greatest mercy, what their qualifications are. So, Krishna, he became their dear friend, their Lord, God, even their spiritual master, and their cousin. He even became their messenger. Lord Ram never became the messenger of Hanuman. Lord Narasimha never became the messenger or the cousin of Prahlad. But here, Krishna, he has become their servant, their messenger, running errands, and their cousin, junior cousin to Maharaj Yudhisthira, and equal cousin to Arjuna, like this. You know this famous story, it's in Nectar of Devotion, how Lord Krishna, he took this very seriously, that Yudhisthira is my cousin, but he is my senior cousin. So, he is respectable for me. And Krishna used to take whatever opportunity he would get, he could get to show respect and deal very appropriately, particularly with Yudhisthira, because he was the king also. So there's a story there, and it's in Nectar of Devotion, how one day Lord Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira met on the road. They were both in their chariots, and they're coming from opposite directions to meet on the road. So, as they saw each other approach, then Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking, oh, here's my dear Lord Krishna. Krishna was thinking, here's my dear senior cousin, Yudhisthira. So they both wanted to offer respect to each other. So it was a race. Who can offer respect first? So their chariots pulled up beside each other, and Krishna was very quick. In those chariots, it appears, there was only one entrance or exit point. So Krishna leapt out and offered his prostrated obeisances flat on the ground, right where Maharaj Yudhisthira would have to step out. So either he had to step over Krishna, which is a major no-no in terms of etiquette with anyone, what to speak of respectable seniors. Either he had to do that or stand there and receive the obeisances. So he stood there and received the obeisances from Krishna. So it was like a very intimate in terms of family dealings. Yeah, so he became their charioteer, we know, of Arjuna, their servant in so many ways. Then, let's see. Well, Narada really makes the point that Krishna, he is the source of all the avatars. Other forms of the Lord are just his minute parts. It's not really covered. It's not really covered in the overview book, it seems. Demigods like Brahma are his minor opulences, material nature is his maidservant. Narada says that ordinary devotees like me may satisfy Krishna in a formal way, but loving devotees like you, the Pandavas, you have him under your control. When you tell him to do something, or even he just gets an idea that you want something done, he'll do it. He'll do it. So then, there is a point which is touched on in number two. Yeah, it's touched on in number two, but just very, very briefly. This point that when Lord Ram came, a few people got pure devotional service. But now that Krishna's here, then the Pandavas, and many others for that matter, have come to a higher level of spontaneous loving service. So there's quite an elaborate discussion, actually, in the book. So, Narada Muni explains that this form of the Lord as Krishna is unique because in other forms, the Lord, in many other forms, he only gave liberation. Actually, in many, many cases, he didn't even give liberation. But in those forms, the best he gave was liberation, if he gave it, or on a few occasions. And he mentions Kalanemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna. They were killed by other forms of the Lord, but they did not get liberation. This is an interesting technical point that it is often, Jiva Goswami discusses actually in Krishna Sandarbha, that even generally other forms of the Lord do not even give liberation. Generally, it is only Krishna, or at least far more than any of his avatars. And in many cases, many of his avatars don't give liberation when they kill someone or something like that. So these different people were killed by the Lord, but they did not get liberation. And so many of these avatars, they hardly give liberation. A few of them may even more rarely give pure devotional service. And he mentions Nrisingadev gave one person pure devotional service. That was Prahlad. Nobody else. Yeah, nobody else. Even Hiranyakashipu didn't get liberation because he had to take birth again as Ravana. Yeah, so it was only Prahlad who got pure devotional service from Lord Nrisingadev. Then came Lord Ram. When Lord Ram came, a few got pure devotional service. Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhisan, Dasarath, Sugriva, Guhaka. They got pure devotional service, but not prema. Not on that higher level of this unadulterated, overwhelming, spontaneous, pure love. But Narada says, but now so many have been given liberation, so many have been given pure devotional service, and so many have even been given pure love of God by Krishna. even demons fit for going to hell, killed by him, even in some cases not even killed by him. Some killed by Arjuna, some killed by Bhima. They got liberation. Yes. And they were fit for hell. And even some of those demons killed by the Lord, they went back to Godhead. Here are some examples of that. Not just liberation, pure love of God, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Demons killed by Krishna. Putana is a good example. Ladies, can you tell us a second one? Killed by Krishna, went back to Godhead. Not just liberation. Well, at least one other was Agasura. Agasura. He got Sarupya Mukti, went back to Vaikuntha. Why? There are a couple of reasons. The main one is because he was the brother of Putana. Yes, so then great sages who were present at the time of Lord Ram, but were also present at the time of Krishna. There were some people in that category. They were present when Lord Ram was here. They were present when Krishna was here. Some examples. Vishvamitra, Gotama, Vasishta. They were present, of course, when Lord Ram was on the planet. And they were also there when Krishna went to the eclipse at Kurukshetra. So they saw both. In the association of Lord Ram, all three of them maintained more of a focus on austerities, jnana, sort of spiritual knowledge, impersonal knowledge, meditation, kind of yogic types of practices. But when they saw Krishna, they became overwhelmed and they started praying for pure devotional service. So Narada is making these points that now even many trees and creepers are pouring, tears are pouring from their eyes in the form of sap and nectar because of the association of Krishna. So we can understand this Krishna, he is unique. He is unique and you have him under your control. Your relationship with him is so deep and so loving. So that was not really covered there in the overview book. Yes. So, what to speak... Oh yeah, well this is mentioned here. What to speak of Krishna's mercy? Even when he chastised people, it was beneficial. Putana became his mother. Kaliya got the dust of his lotus feet on his head. And so on. So, Narada. Oh, he's in such ecstasy. Talking about Krishna. In relation to the Pandavas. But particularly he's been focusing here on Krishna. And he feels he's got carried away. So, he chastises his tongue. He doesn't know what to do. He bites his tongue and tells his tongue, "You stop this. Stop this. Stop glorifying Krishna. What you should do is glorify the devotees." So now he starts to focus more on the Pandavas. This is now from 33 to 44. So he gives some examples of the good fortune of the Pandavas in their loving relationships with Krishna. How Krishna treated them in really special ways doesn't seem to be mentioned here, but he says that once Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, heard Akrura say one thing about Krishna, and she became overwhelmed with symptoms of Krishna prema. Totally overwhelmed with symptoms of love of God, just by hearing one thing. She looked after the Pandavas only because they were dear to Krishna. That's all. Not because she was their mother. Normally, of course, the motherly relationship is so strong, just extremely strong. But in her case, she looked after them only because they were dear to Krishna. That's all. In the eighth chapter of the first canto, Prayers of Queen Kunti, then Krishna was leaving for Dwaraka, but Kunti came and asked her to stay. He stayed for 2 or 3 months. He didn't just wait for 5 minutes or even half an hour. He stayed for 2 or 3 months just because she asked. So she had him completely under her control. Then Krishna allowed Maharaj Yudhisthira to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. He allowed Bhima to kill Jarasandha. I think those are there. Over the page, B and C. B is the Rajasuya sacrifice, and C, he arranged that Bhima kill Jarasandha. Arjuna is famous all over the world for being Krishna's friend. His relationship with Draupadi, it's mentioned here. He referred to Draupadi as my dear friend. And he protected her from Devasa and then also from Dushasana. Then Vidura is mentioned. Vidura is mentioned because Krishna, it says he relished Vidura's porridge. There are different versions of the story, but I think you know the basic idea, that Krishna went to Hastinapur once when Duryodhan was ruling, and Duryodhan invited Krishna for a royal feast. But then he met Vidura, who is a great devotee, and Vidura invited Krishna for, some prasad. So, of course, Krishna chose Vidura. But when he got there, some say there was only bananas, and Krishna ate the skins. According to this, there was porridge. Of course, we're not very fond of porridge. We might prefer, if you're South African, alubini or something. Biryani. Yes, so he got porridge. Not so good unless you're Scottish. He got porridge and he ate it. He ate it all and he said, this is just the greatest nectar I've ever had. Because of the love of Vidura. Yes, let's see. Oh, interesting point, which is not mentioned here. When Prahlad was given mercy by Nrisingadev, He received it with his grandson, Bali Maharaj, not at the same time, a little later. Bali Maharaj also got mercy. When Hanuman got mercy, he got it alone. But when the Pandavas got the Lord's mercy, all their family members, even their friends, even their ministers and servants, everyone connected with them, they all got the complete mercy. They all got the complete mercy. Then this is a nice point mentioned here in the overview book, number 8. Krishna, it's there in Mahabharata, Krishna told the Kauravas, those who are the enemies of the Pandavas are my enemies, because the Pandavas are as dear to me as my own life. Well, he says, a friend of the Pandavas is a friend of mine, and one of the enemies is my enemy. They are my very life ears. And then, it's also not mentioned here, but Narada tells the Pandavas, he has appeared on this planet only for your sakes. It's because of you that he's appeared. So, like this, Krishna glorifies the Pandavas, and of course, the Pandavas, they have something to say. Actually, they have a lot to say. And different of them have different things to say. It's quite interesting. So, first of all, Maharaj Yudhisthira, this is now, what is it? Oh, 5. Now, actually, this is really dealt with extremely briefly. 5. It's actually verse 45 to verse 89. 44 verses. And so many things are said by all the Pandavas, by Kunti, by Draupadi. They all have some important things to say to defeat what Narada has said in their glorification. So first of all, from 45 to 57, Yudhisthira responds, saying, I cannot remember Krishna ever showing us any mercy at all. So this is now from 45 to 57, Yudhisthira specifically. So, he says, even if ordinary materialists saw all the calamities that we went through, even though Krishna was right by our sides, even if ordinary materialists would see these things, they'd immediately lose any interest they might have in surrendering to Krishna. They think it's a complete waste of time. Yeah. So what mercy has he shown us? He says, this disturbs me, because actually I want everyone to surrender to Krishna, but at this rate, the way Krishna's treating us, and you know, the word is getting around, then no one's going to want to surrender to him. And it hurts me, because I want people to surrender to Krishna. Then he says, I was thinking like this, and therefore I decided to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Now, this is the sacrifice where Maharaj Yudhisthira was installed as the emperor of the world. So we might think, and generally it's presented in those terms, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to become installed as the emperor of the world, so he arranged for his own Rajasuya sacrifice. But Maharaj Yudhisthira says, no. I wanted to arrange a situation in which Krishna would feel forced to be merciful and give me something material. Have me installed as the emperor and preside over that and approve it and be sort of responsible for it. This is why responsible for it. This is why I arranged the Rajasuya sacrifice. So that people would see, here is Krishna giving his devotee a lot of material things, being very merciful to his devotee. And there's a story, which I'm sure many of you have heard, connected with this, that when Krishna came to Hastinapur from Dwarka to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, he said, he asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, why do you want to do this sacrifice? You know, why don't you just be a devotee? Why do you have to be the emperor and be, you know, so rich and powerful? Why do you need it? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, oh, you don't understand me. I want lots of money. I want loads. I want all the money. Krishna said, really? Oh, I didn't know that. And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, yes. And I want to be the emperor of the whole world. I want everything to be under me. My property. And I'll control it. Krishna said, really? I thought all you wanted was pure devotional service. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, no, no, no. I want everyone to be my servant. I want to have a huge palace, an emperor's palace. And Krishna was really disappointed. He said, oh, well, you know, I'm really disappointed. I thought you wanted devotional service. But anyway, you're my devotee and I'll give you these things if you want. But why? Why do you want these things? And Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira said, the reason is, because I've heard so many people saying that these Pandavas, they're meant to be so close to Krishna, but they have such a hard time. He never helps them. So then they say, well, I'm not going to become a devotee of Krishna. No chance. So I want them to see, here's a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna is giving him everything. And then they'll think, ah, this looks good. Then they'll become devotees. So Maharaj Yudhisthira explains like that. He asked Krishna, he said, I want to show how the devotees benefit more than the non-devotees. So please do this. Please do it. And Krishna agreed. All right. But otherwise, Krishna, he never helped them. They just got one hard time after another. So then, following the battle of Kurukshetra, well, that this is mentioned. Now we've got our kingdom back. All our enemies are dead. And, you know, now our grief has increased because now we feel responsible for so many other people dying. It's terrible. And we can't enjoy the kingdom now that they're all gone. So it's really bad. Respectable elders like Drona and Bhishma died. Our beloved juniors like Abhimanyu died. And it's being deprived of their association is worse than dying. And now, we only see Krishna just like once in a blue moon. We have to dream up all these far-fetched schemes to get him to come. Otherwise, he'll never come. And he says, now Krishna is living in Dwarka with the Yadus. They are getting the greatest mercy. So he's just now beginning to point Narada in that direction, but just beginning is the word, really. So, let's see. So then we go on to Bhima. Bhima now comes forward. This is verses 58 and 59. And Bhima, he was very close to Krishna. They're called Narma Sakas. It means like bosom buddy, very close, intimate friend. Not the most dear, but very dear. So Bhima was particularly dear to Krishna, and he knew Krishna very well. So then Bhima, with a knowing expression, a knowing look in his eyes, he says to Narada, he says that, "I think you have fallen under the influence of Krishna. Yes. I think you've been associating with Krishna too long. You are becoming like him, I can tell. Through his association, I can see you have picked up at least one of his rather extraordinary characteristics. What is that? He is an excellent word juggler, this Krishna. It's really amazing." He said, "He is the guru of all clever deceivers and the original source of all illusion. So don't put faith in these clever things that he says. He has other motives. He has other motives. He wanted us to win that battle, but not for ourselves. He just wanted to reestablish his own standards, what he calls Dharma. Once he achieved that through our hard work, he left. Straight out of the battle, he left and he went to Dwarka." So even though he was telling us so many things, how we must fight, you remember what he told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, "You must fight to be good and, you know, this and that." But he just wanted to achieve his own ends, and once he did, he went. He's just a clever talker. That's all. Yes, he says, sometimes he does things just for his own pleasure. Sometimes he manufactures illusion just to see what happens to the person who falls under the illusion, like Arjuna, just to see what happened. Sometimes he intentionally bewilders his devotees. Whatever happens, his motive is never simple. It's never what he says it is. There's always some other idea in the back of his mind. So don't take it so seriously, what he has told you, what he tells you, or what he says. Then Arjuna speaks from verse 60 to verse 74, and he denies. He says, "No, Krishna." He says, well, actually he is a closer friend even than Bhima. He says, actually, it's not exactly that it's just illusion, just like he's fooling us. He tries to be merciful, but the end result is something else. So, he gives examples. Arjuna says, "The Lord, who is so dear to me, more dear to me than I am, I had to tolerate seeing him being attacked by Bhishma. He did that." I mean, the Lord attacked Bhishma, in fact, to protect me. So in other words, he was trying to be merciful by protecting me against Bhishma. But the end result was, I felt even more pain, because then he got attacked. If it was just me being attacked, it wouldn't have been so bad. But I had to see his body pierced with arrows, bleeding. And, as we mentioned, Arjuna says, he is more dear to me than I am. So when I saw him being wounded, it felt worse than if I was being wounded. But he was trying to be merciful to me. You follow the idea? But it worked out the other way, another way. It worked out to be more painful than if he hadn't tried to be merciful to me. Yes. And Arjuna says, I tried to stop him. I tried to stop him because I knew he would get hurt. And in that way it would pain me more. But I couldn't stop him. I even grabbed hold of him. He wouldn't let me. He just carried on and tried to protect me and be merciful to me. But the end result was I suffered more because he suffered. And he says that Krishna may have been trying to help, but acts that bring pain to a dear one cannot be a sign of love and compassion. So therefore, you know, it's not really so nice. Then he says, interesting point. He says that, along the lines of what Bhima said, that he spoke Bhagavad Gita to me just to fulfill his own program. He wanted these people dead. And he had to convince me to do it. So he just spoke all this gyan. That's all. It was just dry gyan, just to convince me intellectually. It had nothing to do with love. It had nothing to do with devotion. Sanatana Goswami says, Arjuna is making partly an illusory point here, because Bhagavad Gita is full of love. But Arjuna is speaking like this. That is just philosophy. He just wanted these people killed. And he wanted me to do it for him. So he just twisted my arm. Sri Sri Radharadhanath ke. All he did was twist my arm and sort of psychologically force me into doing it. What sort of mercy was that? That's not mercy. Then Arjuna becomes very sad. He says, actually, still, he is the dearest person to me. And because he has four qualifications. One, he's unconditionally merciful. Two, he always fulfills his promises to his devotees. Three, he's the most reliable friend and benefactor. And four, he is the Supreme Lord, so he can do whatever he wants. But when I think of these wonderful qualities and how dear he is to me because of them, and then I think how he deceived me by speaking this Bhagavad Gita, then I feel very bad. I really feel very bad. So then from verse 71 to 74, Nakula and Sahadev speak. So they say that we don't consider that Krishna helping us win the battle was mercy. Krishna killing our enemies was mercy. Krishna helping us perform this big sacrifice was mercy. Krishna helping us become kings of the world was his mercy. As far as we're concerned, the only time he gave us mercy was when he let us worship him in the Rajasuya sacrifice. We offered our tea to him. We washed his feet. In different ways, we worshipped him. But now he's gone to Dwarka and we can't worship him. So where's the mercy? There's no mercy. Then Draupadi speaks. She's crying. How many times did Krishna save me? How many times did she save my husband and my relatives? But then finally, in the end, when he told me, don't worry, I'll work everything out very nicely, practically all my family members were killed in the battle. My father, my brother, and everybody else, except my husband's, everybody else was killed. So where was the mercy? He told me he'd save me. He told me everything would be all right. But here we see it's not. Then, last one, Queen Kunti, from verse 82 to 89. That Krishna saved us. It's not in the book. Krishna saved us from so many calamities. And he was even... He protected me even more than he protected his own mother, Devaki. But now, just like Draupadi, now I see all our relatives are dead. And the women are just crying and crying. So, where's the help? Where's the mercy? She said, my only hope was that he is our relative. We had this family connection. That was my only hope. But now, that very last only hope is working against us. Because he has a closer family relationship with the Yadus, and therefore he's with them in Dwarka. And we're left on our own. So, she has mentioned the Yadus. Maharaj Yudhisthira mentioned the Yadus. So without further ado, Narada Muni races to Dwarka without any further discussion. He rushes in. There he is in Dwarka. And where are we now in the overview book? Oh, we're in... I guess we're in 6, aren't we? From verse 90 to 96. So Narada Muni arrives. The Yadus are being glorified by poets, and it's just a very opulent, very beautiful scene. And Narada Muni comes flying in, and there were countless millions of them waiting there for Krishna to come. They're waiting for Krishna to come into the assembly hall. We note that in the Bhagavatam it says that the Yadu dynasty, for their children, they employed 38,800,000 teachers. So there was a lot of people around. Although Sridhar Swami, the great commentator, says this is a very conservative estimate. Anyway, that's by the way. So they saw Narada. Oh, they came running over to him. This is now point 7. Verse 97 to 99. Yeah. They picked him up and offered him a big seat. He refused it. He wanted to sit on the ground at their feet. But they sat with him. Anyway, similar situation as with the Pandavas. They wanted to worship him. He didn't want to be worshipped. Then, that brings us to point 8. Verse 100 to verse 110. So he tells them that you have the most mercy. Let's see. Let us see here. So he gives some arguments. You always see him, you can touch him, and you're more fortunate than the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. He's forgotten about Vaikuntha and its inhabitants because he's in your company. He's so absorbed. Even he just goes walking around here and there, doing nothing in particular with you. But he's just so absorbed in this loving relationship with you all that he forgets about Vaikuntha being the Lord. He's just happy to be with you. So you're the greatest devotees. And Maharaj Ugrasena is the greatest king. And the most fortunate of all devotee kings. So then, in 9, the Yadus respond briefly. And actually they say an interesting thing. They say, you know, you're such a great sage. Whatever you say must be correct. So what you're saying is right. We have got the most mercy. It's true. And we know it. This is a rather different approach. The approaches start becoming different now. Yeah. So, they say, actually, you're quite right. And you know the reason why? Because Krishna is Patita Pavana, Dina Dayal. He is merciful to the fallen, and we are the most fallen. So you're right. We've got the most mercy, because we are the most fallen. We are quite fit for it. It is quite right that we have got the mercy. But then, let's see now. Yes, this is still in number 9, actually. They say that amongst us, Uddhava has the most mercy. Actually, he's got much more than any of us. This is now point 9. That he's always with Krishna. He's Krishna's personal advisor. Sometimes Krishna leaves us. He goes away from Dwarka, but Uddhava goes with him. Sometimes Krishna feels that he cannot do something. He's not capable. He sends Uddhava to do it. So Uddhava, you know, is like a super special representative. He's always present with the Lord when the Lord eats. So this is over the page, actually. He's the first to get the Mahaprasad. So he's especially lucky. He's the first to get the Mahaprasad. And it says here, when at night when Krishna goes to bed, Uddhava massages his feet. And when Krishna falls asleep, Uddhava just lets the Lord's lotus feet rest in his lap and falls asleep himself with the Lord's lotus feet in his lap. He's so fortunate. So much mercy. In fact, he's got so much mercy, he even looks like Krishna. Yes. Krishna. Sometimes he sends Uddhava to do things he feels he can't do. And sometimes when he can't figure something out, he asks Uddhava for advice. Just like a humble student. Will you please help me with this? I just can't understand. And therefore Krishna has solved many problems. I mean, Uddhava has solved many problems for Krishna. Since childhood, he's always been mad with love for Krishna. So like this it goes on. At the end, there's a little bit. It's there in point 10, verse 126 to 132. Ugrasena Narada Muni had said that Ugrasena was the most fortunate king, but Ugrasena responds to that by saying, no, it's not a fact. Uddhava is more fortunate than me. All I want to do is serve Krishna, but he keeps bowing down to me and saying, my dear king, please order me. I'm your servant. I feel so bad, so I'm not fortunate. So then they send him off to Uddhava. This now brings us to chapter 6. Dearest. Uddhava is the dearest. But, well, not actually. Anyway, let's just see how it goes. Well, in fact, I think it should be dearer. According to the first page, it's dearer. So Uddhava is dearer, and he'll point us to those who are the dearest. So now the format changes. It's no longer, you have got the mercy for this reason, that reason, and no, I haven't got the mercy for various reasons. It changes. The approach changes. So Narada, hearing that how great Uddhava is just like something incredible. So he goes racing off to find Uddhava there in Dwaraka. If you don't know love of God, that brings us to point 2. He finds a group of people sitting together, and they are in anxiety. It's the middle of the day. Krishna is still sleeping. You know, Krishna is normally very good. He gets up for Mangal Arati. But here we have Krishna. It's the middle of the day. Krishna is not up. And these people are in anxiety. Balaram, Mother Devaki, Mother Rohini, and Uddhava, for that matter, and one rather remarkable person, Ugrasena's wife, the mother of Kamsa, Padmavati. She is like a total contrast. Anyway, we'll see as we go. She is really weird. So there they are, and they're in anxiety. And they see, here comes Narada in this spectacular mood of ecstasy. So they ask him, what happened? We've never seen you like this. What happened? This brings us to point 3. 3. We have 2 3s here. So actually they are together, these 2 so-called 3s. So Uddhava is there, but Narada doesn't see him. He's in so much ecstasy. He tells them, please tell me, where's Uddhava? I want to meet him. Please introduce me to him. And if you can't do that, at least get me one particle of dust from his feet. Then my heart will be pacified. Because, then he gives some very nice reasons. They're briefly mentioned here. And there's a little more detail here. Uddhava, he says, has more mercy than any other devotee. Because, first point, will Uddhava receive the greatest favor? Actually, the point is that Krishna, Uddhava, represents Krishna. In the Bhagavatam 11.16.29, Krishna says, amongst those entitled to be called Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. But you, Uddhava, represent me amongst the devotees. So this is 3A, really. Uddhava has the greatest favor. well, actually, maybe it's A and B. So, in regard to C, he says, there's a verse, 11, 14, 15. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, who is the Lord's son, nor Lord Shiva, who is his friend, nor Lord Sankarshan, who is Balaram, his brother, nor the goddess of fortune, who is his wife, nor indeed myself, are as dear to me as you, Uddhava. So, wow, this is very special mercy. Interesting point, I think this is from the purport to one of these verses. There's a commentary of Sridhar Swami.